Hello, I'm Pastor Rick, and welcome to our podcast. I hope that the message that you're about to hear will bless and encourage you today.
Let's offer a word of prayer before I preach, and then I'm going to get right into God's Word. Lord, this morning, use my study time, my prayer time, the time that I've spent just thinking about your Word. Use my words to touch hearts and lives today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. We are beginning a series of messages. I might preach three in a row and then not preach and then go back. But the series is called Power Encounters. Power Encounters, the works of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, in the Acts of the Apostle. We are going to look at the book of Acts. There will be portions that I will skip over because I'm going to focus on the working of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And so I'm excited to start this. I've been thinking about this for months. Maybe it's been over a year. And so this is week one. And the title for this morning is Why? Why Power? Why Power? Well, let me share a little story with you that might help you to illustrate why power. There was a little boy who got healed in Buenos Aires. I'm trying to sound very Spanish, and I'm doing a terrible job. I love when Sherry pronounces us. But in Buenos Aires, or Aris, or however we pronounce it, there was a man by the name of Tommy Hicks, and he did crusades throughout Latin America. And this was over 60 years ago, but this particular healing was so powerful that it received citywide press coverage. Every news outlet picked up this story. And because of this story being picked up, it drew multitudes of people to the crusade, and some consider it the actual turning point of this particular crusade. It just so happened that when the mother brought this three-year-old boy up to the platform to receive healing, he was wearing a brace, his leg was deformed, and he had been fitted with a brace. On that particular night, when she came up to the platform, there were four physicians sitting on the platform. Not an uncommon thing in some of their crusades, because medical science could verify, did something really take place? There were four physicians sitting up on that large platform of the Tommy Hicks crusade. This little boy was brought up, his leg in a brace. After prayer, the brace was removed, and in plain sight of thousands of people, the boy walked. Then he ran, and then he jumped. And the people began to cheer. Then one of the physicians that was sitting on the platform moved over to the boy. And when this physician moved over to the boy, the mother looked at him, hadn't really paid attention to him, looked at him and realized it was the very same physician who just a few weeks earlier had fitted the boy for the brace. There, sitting on the platform, watching this boy walk and then run and then jump. That physician had told that mother that that boy would need a brace for the rest of his life. And now here he is walking. The story is that the emotion of the moment was so high that both the mother and that doctor began to weep profusely. Then he went and examined the leg again. And he dropped to his knees. And he said, "I want this Christ. I want to be saved." And according to Hicks, this doctor and also one of his colleagues that was on the platform accepted Christ that night. Why power? Because when God works, people's lives are touched and other people get saved. Why do we want power? Why do I want power? Because there are hurting lives in our community. There are bodies and there are emotions and there are people who need a touch from God. But more than that, I want men and women to come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. As we start today, I've got a key scripture. And by the way, I hope that you pick one of these up. The key scripture is there as well as some fill in the blanks. And you say, that is so old-fashioned, Pastor Rick. And I say, yes, it is. And I'm going to keep doing it because I'm an old-fashioned kind of preacher that way. And I just think, because I know for myself, when I'm taking notes, I remember more of what is said. But one of the key verses is not from the book of Acts. It's from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Look at what Peter said to the entire church. His divine, everybody out loud, say that next word. His divine power. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that you need, everything that I need to live life upon this earth, God has, his divine power has given us all things. Everything that you need this morning, God has made it available. So the question is, have you received it? If God has made available through his divine power all things, have you received what he wants you to have? Are you walking daily in it? If you have a Bible app, or a paper Bible, get it out. Turn to Acts chapter 1. This morning I'm going to be reading from the first 15 verses, commenting as I read through them, and then I'm going to tie it all together with a few comments at the close. Yes, it's going to be on the screen, but you won't be able to make notes in the screen, but you can on your Bible app, and you can highlight in your Bible app, or if you have a paper Bible, like I still use, yes, I'm old school like that, I have notes and highlights and stickies and all kinds of things in my Bible, because every day I am in God's Word. The book of Acts was written by the man that was called Luke. He was a physician. He wrote our Gospel of Luke. And so at the beginning of this, he actually refers to his Gospel. His Gospel and the book of Acts was written to an individual called Theophilus. He had investigated everything. He was a historian as well as a doctor. And he actually talked to the eyewitnesses about these things. He talked to probably several other eyewitnesses, and he put together this account of what happened after Jesus ascended into heaven. So starting in chapter 1, verse 1, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving his chosen apostles further instruction through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. So after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, he was around for 40 days. It says he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. In 1 Corinthians, and I'm not going to bring the verse up, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6, it says there that at one time more than 500 individuals saw the resurrected Jesus. And so it wasn't just the 12 that saw him. It wasn't just a scattering of people. Hundreds of people saw Jesus when he was alive from the dead. Go back to verse 3 again. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Verse 4. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" In the Old Testament, and let me just teach a bit here. In the Old Testament, when Messiah came, the promise was that he was going to restore Israel to their prominence. He was going to restore the kingdom. They were under Roman rule at this time. They had been under Babylonian rule. They had been under Assyrian rule. They were now under Roman rule. And one of the promises of Messiah was when Messiah came, he was going to be a king and he was going to restore it all. Jesus is a king and he will restore it all. But one of the things they didn't understand was that restoration was going to come later. His first coming was for the salvation of the world. His second coming, which I believe is quick, soon, are we ready? That's a whole other series of messages that I hope to be able to preach before the rapture. That is when he's going to set up his kingdom. But they didn't yet have that understanding. So back to verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. And they are not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Another little aside as I'm teaching right here, Jesus said, and you shall receive, the Greek word is dunamis. Dunamis. And it's a very interesting Greek word. Back in the 1800s, when dynamite was invented, they didn't know what to call this explosive combination of chemicals that was so rapidly explosive that they needed a name. And they went back to the Greek and they actually pulled from this Greek word dunamis and gave us our English word dynamite, because it was the best word in the Greek to represent explosive power. What Jesus was saying to them that day when he said, you shall receive power, was that there is going to come upon them a power that is going to be almost like a explosive type power that is going to be given to them, dunamis. And so dynamite actually comes from this word. Let's pick it up now in verse 9. So after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. And as they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way that you saw him go. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went into the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. During this time, about 120 believers were together in one place. Why did they need this explosive supernatural power? Why do you and I need this explosive supernatural power? Let's see what we can discover from this text. In your notes, number one this morning, we're going to start by asking the question, what is the power? And then we will go into why do we need the power? What is the power? First of all, it is a gift. It is a gift. The power of the Holy Spirit is a gift given by God the Father. And now let me ask you a question. Would you not want everything that God would want to give to you? Have you received this gift? Jesus said, and this is Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about this in Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter, coming up on the screen. Help you to understand. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, we give good gifts to our children. I love birthdays and Christmas when I get to give good gifts to my children. If we, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give? We can put it in parentheses here, the gift of. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's a gift. What is this power? It's a gift. Number two, What is it? What is this power? It is the baptism in or with the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, the word that the New Living translates, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, can also be translated, and other translations do, you can be in the Holy Spirit. So very often I will interchange these words. But what is the power? It is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Once again, going back to Acts 1, verses 4 and 5, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus told them this was going to happen, and he gave them no idea what it was going to be, except it's a gift from God. It's going to be the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's going to be you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's all they knew. They were just to wait. For what? A baptism. Now, that part they would have understood, because the word in the Greek, baptism, is baptisto, and it is a very common Greek word, because all it means is to put something under liquid or to immerse something in a liquid substance, whether that be water or something else. So throughout regular Greek literature, the word baptism appears in a non-religious sense because it's not a religious word. It just means to put something under water. You actually baptize dishes when you wash them. That's what baptism means. Now, for us, it is a religious word. It is a word that refers to that which we do regularly. One coming up, plug for September 18th, baptism coming up on September 18th. But Jesus said this is not a water baptism. Jesus said this is going to be a baptism into something or with something, and it is with a person. You are baptized into the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the Godhead. You are to be immersed in it. Wait for this. Don't leave until you have been baptized with or into the Holy Spirit. And you say, that doesn't make sense at all. How do you get baptized into a person, into a spirit being? It does happen, and the Bible shows us how it happens, but that's what this means. This is an experience of being immersed into, deeply into God. That's what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So what is the power? It's a gift. Number two, it is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Number three, and I've just put this in, these are just my thoughts. It's very important to God. It's very important to God. What is this power? This power is very important to God. Well, why would you say that? Well, first of all, let's see what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. What he's saying is this, because he had just said in the verses before, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends the gift. John baptized with water, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So now they're asking him about the kingdom, and this is what he's saying. Jesus is not downplaying the second coming. He taught about the second coming. He explained about the second coming. In fact, when he goes up into heaven at the ascension, the angel said, the way you saw him go is the way he's coming back in the clouds. The second coming is very important, but this is what Jesus is saying, so don't miss it. Jesus is saying this, don't get distracted about the times and the seasons and the kingdom. Don't get distracted. Wait for the gift. This promise of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because he's saying this, in light of the work he has planned for his people to do, the power of the Holy Spirit should be their main focus at this point. The times and the second coming and the kingdom and the establishment of the kingdom, all important. It's good to know the season that we're in. But he says, in light of everything that I have called my people to do, everything that I've called you to do, everything that I called them to do, we must have the power. This is so very important to God. It is the only thing, one of the only things that is mentioned, one of the few things I should say, there's a couple others, that is mentioned in all four Gospels and the book of Acts, specifically by name. The birth of Jesus is not mentioned in all four Gospels and the book of Acts. The resurrection of Jesus is. Most of the miracles are not in all four of the Gospels, and of course the miracles of Jesus in the Gospels are not in the book of Acts. There may be a reference occasionally to one. But in Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:7, Luke 3:16, John 1:33, and Acts 1:5, specifically the words, John baptized with water, but one is coming, and then Jesus himself claimed to be the one who came, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is very important to God. It is not an add-on. It has the same weight in the scripture by being mentioned in all of the Gospels and the book of Acts as the other important events of Jesus' life, such as his death and his resurrection. It is important. So what is the power? It is a gift. It is the baptism in the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit. And it is very important to God. Now, let's see what we could do about answering the question, why? Why do I need this power? Why do I need power? Or you might say it this way, why do I need the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Why do I need, not someone else, why do I need the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Number one, according to the text, it's to witness effectively. To witness effectively. Acts 1:8, Jesus says this, but you will receive power. We read it, dunamis. You will receive explosive, supernatural power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the result? You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. My witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him would not perish, but have every other everlasting life. How are they going to know that truth if we don't tell? A witness is someone who tells what we have seen, what we've experienced. We are to go and explain, to tell what we've seen, what we've experienced, and we need the power to do that, God's power. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Number two, why do we need this power? To do the work of the kingdom. To do the work of the kingdom. As you read the book of Acts, everything that they do, whether they're speaking, whether they're doing signs and wonders, whether it's healings, whether it's prophecy, all of it is tied back to receiving the power through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Our working for the kingdom needs to be empowered supernaturally. That empowerment comes with the Holy Spirit within us through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Why do I need this power? One, to witness effectively. Two, to do the work of the kingdom. Number three, to live the life Jesus called me to live. To live the life Jesus called me to live. You could also call this power for living. Receiving the power of the Holy Spirit will help you to live the way God wants you to live. Just a couple of verses. One is from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Listen to what Paul said. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I put in parentheses, continually filled with the Holy Spirit. The text in the Greek is a type of a tense that they have that is talking about a continual thing that you're doing. You aren't filled with the Holy Spirit one time. Baptism in the Holy Spirit opens that door, but then you are to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Throughout the book of Acts, we see that those who were baptized in the Holy Spirit are filled again with the Holy Spirit. This is how we're to live our lives, continually being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I early in my Christian walk, I had, you know, just trying to get this. Why, if I've been baptized in the Spirit, if I've received the power, why do I need to be filled again? Until I heard one preacher say this, and then it made sense to me. He says, I have to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit because I leak. You know, just living life. You know, you come out of a church service and you just sense that you just got filled up again. And then you go to Chili's and you empty out real quick. Or Applebee's or Cracker Barrel. Or you go to a family gathering amongst some people that aren't necessarily the nicest to you. And all of a sudden, it begins to leak out. We should be continually filled. In fact, it is very appropriate to pray to be filled, refilled with the Holy Spirit. They did it in the book of Acts, and we will see it as we go through many chapters. We'll see where they asked for a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Look at what Galatians 5:16 says. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. How you doing? How you doing walking with Jesus? How you doing with the desires of your flesh? We all have desires of our flesh. We all have those things, whether they be towards money or whether they be towards sexual things or whether they be towards power or whether they be towards you name it. How you doing? The Bible says that if you walk by the Spirit, you won't gratify these desires. If you're struggling with gratifying the desires of the flesh, how much are you walking in the Spirit? See, why do we need the power? We need the power to witness. We need the power to do the work of the kingdom. Each of us has work for the kingdom. We need the power to live the life Jesus called you and I to live so that we cannot walk gratifying the desires of the flesh. If you have difficulty in any of those three areas, you may need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Or if you've already received Holy Spirit baptism, then you may need to learn to walk in it fully, or you may need to be refilled. Years ago, I met a lady. It was in my very, very first church. And she had received many, many decades before the baptism in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues for the very first time, but then did not walk in the fullness of the Spirit for much of the rest of her life. She didn't realize that she could have this continual flow of power. Jesus said in another place, when the Spirit comes, it's going to be like rivers of living water are going to pour out from your inner man. That's how we were supposed to live. She wasn't living that way. And when I mentioned that to her, she said, oh, I just thought it was just this like one-time thing. I have it. Now I just go and live my life. No, the power of the Holy Spirit should be with us and used daily for us to witness, for us to do the work of the kingdom, and to live the life Jesus called us to live, to walk by the Spirit because He is living in us and flowing through us. Jesus said this, wait for it. Don't leave without it. That's how important. Remember point three was this is important to God. It was in all of the Gospels. Jesus said, hey guys, I know you're ready to conquer the world. I know that you have seen me risen from the dead. You know that I'm the Messiah. You know that I'm God. They're going to see him go up into heaven in a cloud. This is God on earth, God in the flesh. And he said, before you do anything, I need you to just cool your jets for a bit and wait. Why should we wait? Because you don't want to start doing what I've called you to do without it. You and I need this supernatural power. And certainly you can get to heaven without it. You can live your life without it. Some people live rather well without it. But, next point coming up, God has designed you to live life in His power. You have been designed by God to live His life in His power, to live your life in His power. And if you have not received the power, I asked you early, if it's a gift of God, is there any gift from God that you would not want to have? If the Father says this is a good gift, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask? If God says, I have a gift, salvation was a gift. You accepted salvation as a gift. If you have not accepted the forgiveness of sins, it's a gift available for you here today. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a gift given by the Father for all who will receive the gift. Next week, we'll see how it came for the very first time, and as we study through Acts, we'll see other instances where the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon men and women. I'm here just this morning to stir your hunger for a gift. Do you believe God has any gifts that are bad? Have you received this one? It's a good gift. It's a good gift. Back to that 1 Peter verse again. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So why power this morning? The baptism in the Holy Spirit was not just for the early followers. It is for all followers. I have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I walk in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I walk in the filling of the Spirit as I live my life, as I witness, as I do the work of the kingdom. Why power? Because every Jesus follower needs the supernatural power of God. Because every Jesus follower should desire this gift from the Father that He has chosen to give us. Like any gift, it has to be received and it has to be used. I've been asking the question, why power? And if the team is able, if they can make their way to the platform, we're going to move this into a time of prayer and dedication here. There's the big question, why power? I'm going to ask you another question. Why not? Why not? It's a good gift from God. It's available to you. Why not? What would keep you from receiving that which God says is a good gift? Why not? Why would you not seek the gift and the power that the Holy Spirit gives? So, have you received the gift? Have you received the power? And if your answer is no, and be honest, God wants to give it to you. If you haven't, God wants to give it to you. And you can open your heart and receive today, or tomorrow, or next week. But it is a gift from God. If you would say, yes, I have received this gift, then my other question for you is, are you using this gift? Are you walking in the power? And if you're not, then let me ask you this. It could be that today what you need to do is to recommit yourself to walking in the fullness of the Spirit, or it may be for you today to ask for a refilling of the Holy Spirit. But Pastor, I've been around folks who claim this and they're on the weird side. Well, I've been around some that are too. I've also been around lawyers. know of politicians, know of businessmen and businesswomen, educators at the highest level, PhDs, all the way down to those who just have an associate, some only a sixth grade education, who have all received this gift. Hollywood personalities have received this gift. No, not everybody who experiences this comes across as weird. Now, I'll throw myself in that category of not being weird, but Nathaniel might disagree with me. He says, I've been around you long enough, Rick, you're weird. Sometimes. Have you received the gift? Have you received the power?
Thanks for joining us for this message from Columbus First Assembly. If this message has blessed you in any way, would you share it on your social media feeds so that others can be blessed also? If you would like to join us for an in-person service and you're close to us, we are in Columbus, Indiana, then our services start at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and our church is located on the corner of 10th and Iowa. Once again, thanks for joining us. Look forward to having you join us again soon.